There were some pro-life victories recently in the recent elections, and we're going to talk about this with Chelsea Heumann, who is the Human Coalition Action Network Legislative Advisor. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Points. And Chelsea, it's great to have you back on the program. Thank you for joining us.
As always, I love being here.
Sure. Now, I understand that just as a headline here, 13 pro-life women just won congressional races. And that, despite the predicted blue wave, and by the way, as of the time of this recording, Joe Biden has been projected to be the president-elect, but that is definitely being contested, and there's some serious allegations of voter fraud. But as far as the Congress is concerned and the issue of abortion, let's focus on this. First of all, this may be a news headline, so why don't you just summarize what happened on Tuesday, November 3rd?
Well, so much happened. I think most of the voters are aware of where the presidential election stands, just what you mentioned, that we have a president-elect, but it's projected, it is challenged. But really, what I love to talk about is all the victories down ballot that we had. I mean, the remainder of the country showed up principled and strong and very, very pro-life. There are 13 more pro-life congresswomen than there were a week and a half ago today. That's so many more pro-life people in Congress than we've ever had before. And, you know, in this state of Texas, which is my home state where my pro-life PAC, pro-life Texans, worked so hard, we did not lose a single Republican seat. One flipped, but we maintained all of our votes there. So at your state legislative level, there were a lot of pro-life victories as well. That's, of course, where most pro-life legislation is actually passed at the state level. So really a lot of things that are exciting and a lot of good news coming out of Tuesday.
Okay, so you're saying that more than just the U.S. Congress, there were other pro-life victories.
Absolutely. I think that across the board, the state legislators at the state level went more Republican than they were even before. So that is incredible news. Of course, there's so many ways states can lead in the pro-life movement. They pass pro-life legislation. It's always going to be challenged. That's where it goes to your federal judges. Trump appointed more federal judges than any recent Republican. So we've got a lot of Republican appointed judges who are ultimately going to review those pieces of legislation and hopefully allow them to stand. So while, yes, we have a lot of work to do in our movement, I think we've got a lot of hope in our future.
Yeah. Now, in many of these cases, let's focus on a little bit on the Congress side of here of things. These are people where there was somebody who was pro-abortion rights as, a congressperson, and they were defeated by an explicitly pro-life person. For example, this radio station is in Florida, South Florida. Maria Elvira Salazar beat Donna Shalala for her congressional seat. Donna Shalala, formerly with the Clinton administration, definitely pro-abortion rights, but Maria Elvira Salazar is pro-life. And that's just one example of one of these victories, but this is very significant because 13 congressional seats is a lot, frankly.
It's a lot. It's a very significant gain. And if we're ever going to make long-term change to protect the pre-born and to protect vulnerable children in their mother's womb, we have to pass legislation and bills to that end. And so the fact that we have 13 more, and that's just women, but even in the U.S. Senate, three pro-life women won re-election out of Wyoming, West Virginia, Iowa. So we have a lot, I think, to look forward to, and some are still going to be in runoff. So the ticker is counting from there. But I do think that this is really significant to note that voters everywhere are understanding how important it is to protect the vulnerable among us and how important it is to show up and be a voice for the voiceless and, vote in a way that protects the vulnerable.
It used to be thought, it was almost like the conventional wisdom, that being pro-life as a politician was an albatross, or it was a negative. And certainly nobody should be pro-life if they don't really believe, in the cause. But, as a matter of sheer politics, How does that work? In other words, is being pro-life per se a net negative for those seeking political office?
No, I actually think that Americans are more pro-life than they've ever been. 75% of Americans polled say they support a regulation on abortion, even among the pro-choice demographic. And so it's with the evolution we have of science and medicine, medically accurate information going to young pregnant mothers is really, really beneficial in helping them choose life. It is a human growing within them, after all. And I think that that human dignity aspect is something that most people understand. It resonates with us that we should protect our own. Even the chance or possibility of life should be protected, and that there's an inherent dignity there because the child is a human. And so I think it's gaining traction now in policy, which is downstream of culture. The millennial generation is the first and most pro-life generation that's ever existed. And I think we have a duty to do to continue to educate people and engage people on this issue.
All right. We were told before the vote that the, you know, the Democrats were planning to win the Senate. Johnny Ernst in Iowa was down. Mitch McConnell's job was at risk, supposedly. Lindsey Graham had more than $104 million, his opponent received $104 million, I think maybe even more, to try and squash him. And, of course, that was a lot more money than Lindsey Graham had, but Lindsey Graham won. But this is the significance of this is the pro-life angle. So talk about the Senate, if you would, and then we'll get into Georgia related to the Senate.
Well, I can't speak to how important the Senate is right now enough. I think that the entire country needs to be aware that the Senate is the last stopgap between President Biden and Vice President Kamala and the most extreme.
Oh, wait, excuse me. Projected president-elect.
Excuse me. But no, let's think worst case scenario here, because I want voters to understand if you have a runoff in your state, I'm looking at you, Georgia, North Carolina, Tillis is set to lead. But at the end of the day, show up for your runoff elections for the Senate, because if the projected President Biden wins, the Senate is your last stopgap between them and the most extreme abortion ticket our country has ever seen. It is the Senate. So we have to keep our majority as Republicans. They said that they will, and I quote, make abortion the law of the land. So they're planning to file bills to force abortion on every single state, Florida, Texas, the South, any pro-life state that's out there that has regulations. Those will be unhinged. And they want to repeal the Hyde Amendment. That's part of their party platform. They speak about your taxpayer dollars going to pay for a woman's abortion. This is accurate. It's what they've said. It's from their mouth. And so we have to make sure that our Senate stays strong. I think if you're going to have a runoff election, in Georgia at least, but even elsewhere, to be sure to vote.
Yeah, they and maybe even this is a time where people might want to consider giving to one of these, you know, pro-life candidates or whatever, because there's so much at stake, and it's not just the abortion issue, but I think that's the most important of them all. In fact, I think the opposition that we saw recently to Amy Coney Barrett, by any standard, any definition, this lady was absolutely brilliant. I mean, she was the smartest person in the room, let's face it. But what was all the opposition about? Honestly, abortion.
You're right. It's such an important part of our country's history because we as American people did not make that choice. A court of law made it for us. And so when they removed that issue from the local state's government, from your vote on that issue, you know, we spent decades now, almost four decades, trying to claw back what was done for us. And so I think democracy matters. We know that. We're seeing that now a week out from the election, how truly important it is to vote. We've had record turnouts across this country, but abortion should be of top of mind when you're involved in politics because it is, you know, has the single greatest consequences. It's the only issue on your ticket that results in life or death. And so showing up, engaging on this issue, especially, you know, for Christians to say we believe what Bible and God has to say about human dignity and worth and purpose. If you really believe that, then you act to engage and protect that.
All right, let me ask you a question. There are sometimes situations where candidates will use God words, and they'll say, you know, I believe in God, and, you know, I'm, you know, for example, one of the candidates for the Senate in Georgia, the one, I guess, in opposition to, I forgot his name, but he's a minister, Wozniak or something, or Wapnack. Mm-hmm. But anyway, bottom line is, he's saying that the Bible is why he believes in abortion. And so he's running as a Democrat, claiming that the Bible, you know, allows for abortion. How are we to, you know, understand that?
I would say that I've never heard biblical justification for it. I don't think that's the case. At the end of the day, it's really basic. There is a human with human DNA and fingerprints with a predetermined genetic disposition being created from the moment of conception. And in fact, forget the Bible, 98% of biologists, even pro-choice biologists, agree life begins at conception. So from there, we ask ourselves those ethical questions. If life begins at conception, from a scientific standpoint, do we have duties as humans to protect that life? Or is it okay to take an innocent life? And I think most people understand it's not okay to take an innocent life. So those are just really basic thinking and understanding. If you add in the biblical context that God counts the number of hairs on our head and numbers our steps and counts our tears, then you understand he gives us a purpose, and that purpose has value and dignity and worth because we are made in his image. Mm-hmm. So that's why human life matters. That's why humans are worthy of protection. And our worldview, I mean, it's really a gospel opportunity to say that we're pro-life because we believe what God has to say about us and our dignity and our worth and our value, that he ultimately died for us because he cares and loves us. And that's all part of, for me, the same understanding of who we are in God's creation.
The man I'm talking about, by the way, is the Reverend Raphael Warnock, Democratic Senate candidate in Georgia, who will be having the runoff against Senator Kelly Loeffler in January, in the state of Georgia. But as I say, I saw where he was saying that the Bible, I don't know how they justify that. I really don't. In fact, it seems as if the Democratic Party, they used to have some people who were pro-life, but they've kind of driven them all away or driven them out of the party. Or, in some cases, they have become so watered down and diluted in their approach that in reality, they can call themselves pro-life, but in reality, they're supporting pro-abortion this and pro-abortion that.
Well, you're so right. I mean, all you have to do is look at the Democrat Party platforms in your state or at the national level and see just how extreme they've gone. They say, and I quote, there should be no regulations on abortion. Seven states, but they're the most Democrat states we have zero regulations on abortion through the third trimester. Mm. And when you're talking about the Senate specifically, the Democrat bloc in the Senate voted against providing medical care to infants born alive after a botched abortion. They voted against that. To me, that's just basic human dignity, basic caring for a human would be to provide medical care to a child who needs it. And they somehow justified voting against that. So to any voters who maybe sympathize with other issues on the party platforms, but have an understanding of how dark the left has gone on this issue, the reality of abortion, and how far they're willing to go to advocate for it. Because as far as I found, there's really no limit.
Hmm. All right, we have 20 seconds to wrap up. The recapping the top story, it seems like despite some of the disappointments in the recent election, there have been some definite gains on the pro-life side.
Definite gains at the state levels. You know, Republicans came out and voted in droves based on the principles they adhere to, and that's good news. It's really good news. Lots of new pro-life congressmen are now elected that were not a week ago.
HughCoAction.org for more information. Thank you so much, Chelsea. All the best.
Thank you.